You're going to fall away. You're going to deny who I am. And Peter's kind of like, what? Peter's been spending all this time with him. He's experienced and witnessed the transforming power of Jesus Christ. He's like, I'm not going to be denying you. There's just no way that that's going to happen. Peter just can't conceive of that. But Jesus is adamant. He says, honestly, Peter, I'm telling you, you're going to fall away. You're going to disown me. And Peter says again, no, I'm sorry, you got that wrong. Because, yeah, those other guys, you might catch them falling away, but you're not going to catch me falling away. I'd never disown you. And, of course, we know what happens. Jesus is arrested and he is taken away. And Peter is following at a distance and he's watching what's happening. And he's not looking too clever. And people start to notice Peter and to say, hey, like, you were with that Jesus, weren't you? Peter says, no, I wasn't with him. I wasn't with him. I don't know the man. And he's asked three times, don't you know this man? Weren't you with that man? Don't you have the same accent as those people? And Peter's adamant, no, I do not know him. I know nothing about him. And he gets quite agitated about it. And then he remembers that Jesus had told him, you will do this and you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. And Peter hears the rooster crow and he remembers what Jesus said to him and he can't believe it. And we're told he goes outside, he goes away from where everything's happening and he weeps bitter tears. He's disowned his Lord. And we can just imagine how he might have felt at that moment. He couldn't see it coming. He couldn't imagine for a minute that the passion he felt for Jesus Christ, that he would just disown him. He just couldn't imagine that that would happen. But of course, you and I can read all of the Gospels, and we can read the start and the middle and the end. And so we know the whole story, and we know how it works out for Peter. And so we know, next slide, that actually this is not the end of Peter's story. He's there, he's weeping, his Lord is going to be crucified. He's just like, I've disowned him. But it's not the end of Peter's story. Next slide. So what we know happens next is that Peter's going about his day-to-day business again. He's a fisherman, he's out fishing, he's been fishing all night and he's caught absolutely zero. But Jesus, the Jesus that he disowned, Jesus comes along and he seeks Peter out. And he meets him exactly where he's at. He's fishing, he's going about his day-to-day business. And Jesus goes and he meets him there. He seeks him, he pursues him. And he sees what he's doing and he helps him. He says, hey, Peter, put your net out over the other side. Peter does that again. And we know he catches an abundance. He doesn't just catch one or two little tiddlers. He catches an abundance, the size of which could have broken the nets but didn't. And then Jesus says, Peter, come on shore. And he's made this fire. He says, come and bring some fish. And Jesus makes a breakfast for Peter. And at this point, Peter kind of realizes it's his Lord. It's his Jesus, the Jesus that he disowned. And so Jesus feeds him and they have breakfast. And then Jesus talks to Peter and he asks him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord. And Jesus asks him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, you know I do. You're my Lord and Savior. You know everything about me. There is nothing in me hidden from you. You know that I love you. Jesus asks him three times. And three times Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord. And each time Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. And so effectively, Jesus is calling him again. After he disowned who Jesus was, he's calling him again. He meets him where he's at in his day-to-day life. He sees what he's struggling with, and he helps him with it. And then he feeds him, and he says, feed my lambs. He's giving Peter everything that he needs to do, everything that he will ever be asked to do. And so I want us to now move on to the next slide and to look at, okay, we're familiar with this story. What can we learn about it? What can we learn about who and how this Jesus is? What does this show us through this story and this experience of Peter? So I've picked some key things here. There's numerous things, of course, but these are the ones that I've picked for today. Who is Jesus? He's God incarnate. God came down in human form so that we could see what he looked like in a form that we recognize. So Peter and the disciples, they watched God in human form going about his business and doing what he does so they could learn from him, so that they could then share what they'd learned with others. He knows everything about us, Psalm 139:1. So Jesus knew everything about Peter. He saw him, he knew him, he loved him, he called him, and he knew that Peter was going to disown him. He knew absolutely everything about him. Nothing was hidden from him. And yet Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Because even though Peter fell away and disowned him, Jesus remained the same. He went and sought Peter out again in his day-to-day life, and he helped him again. And he just had that encounter with him again. He hadn't changed. Jesus had not changed. He was still exactly the same Jesus, seeking and loving and pursuing Peter, wanting to equip him for everything. Because he's our ever-present source of help. That's what he was for Peter. He went and he helped him with what he was struggling with. He hadn't caught anything all night. He was that ever-present source of help. And there's no condemnation in Christ. So when Peter comes in onto the shore where Jesus is, Jesus doesn't greet him with, "Peter, you've really messed up. I mean, you're a bit rubbish, aren't you? And I can't really do anything with you now." He didn't condemn him at all. He beckoned him. He helped him to catch the fish. He beckoned him. He fed him. He had that conversation. He poured out his love on him. Because he completes the good work that he starts within us. He started something in Peter. And yet Peter fell away and disowned him. But it wasn't the end of the story. Jesus doesn't give up. And he continued to seek Peter again. And we know the rest of the story. He finished what he started in Peter. And Peter built his church. Some key points that we can see through this story about who Jesus is and how Jesus is. And so next slide. But how does all this relate to us today? What does this mean for you and I today in our lives? Well, just like Peter, we too are seen and known and called by name. Because just as Jesus went and found Peter where he was at in his day-to-day life, he does that with you and I. He sees us, he knows us, and he pursues us and he calls us. And for each one of us, we too would have had our own moment like Peter did, where we realise for the first time, wow, this Jesus is the real deal. All of our stories will look different, but we'll have all had that moment where we encountered something so powerful that we could not deny that this was Jesus Christ and he's calling us, and we receive that call. And at that point, it activates that hunger in us. Wow, this Jesus, he is awesome. And I want to know everything about him. I want to know what he's done and how he's done it and all of his truths and his promises. And we want to get into his word and we want to read it. And it jumps off the page and it's just like, wow. We want to get into worship. We want to be in his presence. We want to feel him. We want to know him more. We want to know everything about him because he's just so exciting and he brings adventure to the day-to-day mundaneness of life. And Jesus feeds us. He feeds us with his word. He feeds us with his presence and we get to know all about him. We get to feed that hunger to know about him. By spending that time with him. It's only by spending time with someone that we really get to know them. And it's no different with Jesus Christ. But the thing is, whilst we first meet him, we have our first love and our first encounter. And it's all so exciting. Jesus knows, just like with Peter, that you and I will fall away and deny him at different points. He knows this about us. Just the same as he knew it about Peter. And then we do. We fall away in some way. In some way we deny him. It might be by our actions, our choices, our behaviours. Some part of our life that says, we don't really know who this Jesus is. We might have kind of forgotten. So next slide. But what do I mean when I say fallen away or denied him or disowned? What does that actually look like in real terms in our lives? It can look like all manner of things, and I've just picked out some key ones here. We live in a culture, in a world where there is so much to distract us, so much, so many advances in technology. It's always something that we can be looking at. And it's just this culture of busyness and doing all the time. And in that, sometimes we can be busy doing great things for Jesus. But if we're not spending time with Jesus, then we're too busy. Because we can start to fall away or squeeze him out of our life. We haven't got time for him. We've just got to get on with his work. And suddenly he gets pushed out of the picture. And it's almost as if we're just kind of forgetting who he is. In some way, he gets kind of a bit denied. We're just not focused on him. Or it could be that life brings tough things to all of us. Things that hurt us. Things that we struggle with. Things that we don't understand. And we can become disappointed and disillusioned. These are inevitable. But the critical thing is what we do when these happen. And if we don't deal with them, they kind of sit there and fester. And we kind of might get a bit cold for Jesus because, really? He kind of let these things happen? And is he all that he says he is? And we have doubts about who he is and how he is. And we worry about stuff. We might ruminate on things. A very human thing to do. Yet Jesus tells us, do not worry about anything, but bring it all by prayer and petition to me. But we're not sure how much we know that or we trust that. And we sort of drift away a little bit. We get worn down and worn out by life. Overtired, over busy. We kind of forget about him a bit. We go a bit cold for him. We might just sort of drift away a bit. It's not always the big things. Sometimes it's slow, subtle ways in which we just sort of lose that passion for him. We're not really giving him much time anymore. We might not be thinking about him very much even. It can happen very gradually to any of us in very small ways day to day. Or the other thing is that we can find ourselves engaged in destructive behaviours. And this often comes about when we haven't learned growing up how to deal with really difficult, uncomfortable emotions. And if we haven't learned to do that in a healthy way, we might engage in unhealthy ways of doing that. And that can range anything. Overeating, undereating, spending, gambling, porn, sex, all these things, drugs, drink. There's all kinds of ways that we might engage with destructive behaviours because we don't know how to handle all the painful stuff that we feel. And if that happens, well, we probably might not want to go and tell people at church about that because what would they think? And will we be judged? And will we be condemned? And then people can get in a real mess. Because what do they do then? If they're not talking to Jesus about it and they're not talking to each other in the family, then they're isolated with those things. And it can become even worse. So we can get into this space, subtly, not so subtly, where actually our day-to-day life looks like we don't really know who this Jesus is. Kind of forgotten about him, dismissed him a bit. A bit cold for him. Happens to all of us at different times and in different ways. But although we can look at the life of Peter and see the whole of it, beginning, middle and end, we don't know the whole of our lives. We know what's happened thus far. We know where we are today. We don't know the rest of the story. But what we can be sure of, what we've learnt from Peter's story, what we see so clearly there through his life, is that actually, although this happens, next slide, this is not the end of our story either. It happens. We kind of fall away in some ways. But just like with Peter, Jesus doesn't leave us there. He doesn't say, right, sorry, you're on your own now. You're in a bit of a mess. You've forgotten about me, so see you later. Jesus is not like that. And so next slide. Just as with Peter, Jesus keeps calling us. He doesn't forget about us and just say, oh, well, not bothered. That's not who he is. It's not how he is. We've seen this through the life of Peter. And actually, what he does with us, the same as what he did with Peter, is he still sees us and he still knows us and he still pursues us and he still calls us. He still meets us in our day-to-day. He's still there. Whether we see him or acknowledge him or not, he's still there. He sees everything. He's watching us. He's there. He wants to help us. He wants to meet us in our day-to-day. Whatever it is that we're struggling with. Peter was struggling with the fishing. We've all got different responsibilities. Our day-to-day lives will look very different. But Jesus sees us in whatever we're doing each day. And he sees what we struggle with and what we get stuck with and those ways we might fall away. He sees those struggles, every single one of those struggles. And he's there. I want to help you. I want to help you with that. I don't want you struggling on your own. I want to help you because I want you to be able to overcome and to get out the other side. He's watching us. He's there. He just wants to help us. He wants to feed us with all that he is, not just our physical needs, our deepest needs, to know that we're seen, we're known, and we're loved. And we have a God who has great purposes for us, who invites us to partner with him in spite of ourselves. He wants to feed us of himself so that we can share him. But sometimes, because of the things that have gone on in our lives and we're just distracted, we're busy, or we're stuck doing things we think we shouldn't be doing but we don't know how not to be doing them, all kinds of things, we might just stop hearing him. He's there calling us again like he was calling Peter again. But we might not hear him. We might have just lost sight of who he is and how he is. We might be going through the motions. We might still be coming to church. We might still be reading the Bible but finding it a bit boring. We might have just lost sight and forgotten who he is and how he is. And so at this point, next slide, I want us to just revisit who he is and how he is. Because I don't know about you guys, but I forget. When I had my first experience of Jesus, that first love, I didn't imagine I could ever forget how exciting he was. But I do. We can all forget. But he's God incarnate. He is God. Who rose again. He rose up from the grave. Back then, he rose up after the crucifixion and he went to Peter. But he's still alive today. He is still risen today. He is still alive and he still seeks us out. He knows everything about us, just like he did with Peter. He knew how Peter was going to fall away and disown him. And he knows that about you and I. He already knows the ways in which we fall away. He knows that about us. And yet he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's exactly the same Jesus that he was back then with Peter. He's the same today with you and I. He knows everything about us. And yet he remains unchanging. He still sees us. He still knows us. He still loves us in spite of our stuff. He still pursues us. He still calls us. He still wants to help us. He still wants to pour his love out on us. And he still wants to partner and use us to do his work. Every single one of us. Because he's our ever-present source of help. He knows that we struggle with the day-to-day. He knows that life can be hard. He knows that. We don't have a high priest who hasn't come down here and lived amongst us and experienced the frailties and the failings of the human condition. He never sinned, but he knows what we're like. He knows. And there is no condemnation in Christ. Just as with Peter, Jesus didn't meet him on the shore saying, Peter, you're rubbish and you've messed up and I can't use you now. There is no condemnation in Christ. You and I mess up. I fall short. But there's no condemnation from Christ. We see that in Peter's story. There may be conviction. Jesus may convict us. Actually, you need to address that thing because it's not helpful for you. But if he convicts us, it's because he wants to help us to overcome that situation and to be free of it. He does not condemn us. He convicts us and he has compassion for us. We've sung about it. We all need compassion. We all do. And he is a God of compassion. He completes the good work that he started within us. He did that with Peter. He didn't just leave Peter halfway through. He equipped him. He gave him everything he could have needed to go and fulfill the call on his life to feed his sheep. Now, you and I have different ministries, different callings, different giftings. Our lives look different. But it's the same Jesus who wants to equip us with everything we could possibly need, not just for the day to day, but for anything that he ever asks of us. He wants to complete the good work within us that he started, just as he did with Peter. We know Peter built his church, and we've all got different callings on our lives. And Jesus will help us to complete those, because he doesn't give up on us. He's not a quitter on us. He doesn't say, no, I'm sorry, but you failed too many times now, so I'm leaving you to your own devices. He doesn't do that. He completes the good work that he started within us, because we're his, we belong to him. And he is the one who is able to empower us to do all that he's called us to do. It's exactly the same Jesus that he was back then. Exactly the same. And so last slide. We change and our lives change, and we have different seasons, and we have ups and downs, and we have mountaintop moments, we have valley moments, we have everything in between. We change, our lives change, and we fall away. We lose our first love. But Jesus is unchanging. He's unchanging. He's the same Jesus that he was back then. He still sees us and knows us and loves us and pursues us in our day-to-day lives. He meets us where we're at. He's trying to reach out to us. He's trying to get our attention. I'm here. I want to help you with that thing you're struggling with. He loves us and he wants to feed us of himself, because he knows that's what's going to help us to overcome whatever we need to overcome and to be all that he's made us to be. He feeds us everything we could ever need for the day-to-day and everything he ever asks of us. But we've got to receive him in order to share him, because he's the same Jesus that said to Peter, feed my sheep. And he's still saying that to you and I. We've got different ministries and callings, but we've talked about it a little bit today in the service. It's that when we receive from Jesus, because we want to know him, we want to know him more. There's degrees of knowing him. And the more we know him, the more we want to know him. And the more we want to know him, the more we receive him. The more we receive him, the more we carry him. The more we carry him, the more he bursts out of us. The other people who see us get a glimpse of who he is. They get a taste of who he is, so that they too think, wow, I want to know this Jesus. I want some of that. That's what it's about, us receiving him, so that we can carry him and others can see him and go, wow, I want to be in on that. That's what he's doing. He loves us and he feeds us and he empowers us and he equips us and he releases us to be all that he's made us to be. And he knows we mess up along the way. He knows. And he doesn't leave us there. He says, I can help you with that. We forget and we need reminding of who he is and of how he is. We can't share something that we're not receiving ourselves. It starts with us. We've got to receive it so we can share it. We know we're living in a very broken world. These are very uncertain times. And yet we know this God who's a constant. We know this God who feeds us in a way that nothing from this world can feed us. We know that, and we need to feed on him and receive of him, to share him with that world out there that's desperate for him, that's hungry for him, that wants to know what we already know but sometimes forget and we need reminding about. So how well do we know this Jesus? Because he knows us. Good and bad. He knows the worst thing about every one of us. He knows the worst things we've ever done. He knows the worst things we will ever do. But he remains unchanging. He continues to see us and know us and love us and call us, pursue us, meet us in our day-to-day and attempt to equip us with everything we could ever need. But the question is, will we continue to see him, to hear him, to know him, to push in, to receive his call, to receive of all that he has for us, so that we can enjoy that and share it with others? I believe that wherever we're at this morning, whether we've fallen away a little bit, or whether we're totally on the mountaintop, on fire, going all out for Jesus, or anywhere in between, I believe at this time that God is desperately calling his people deeper into a revelation of who he is and how he is. We can only share that which we've grasped ourselves. And it's an ongoing thing. I don't think we can ever know all there is to know about Jesus. It's an ongoing thing, an ongoing invitation. Come closer. Come deeper. I've got everything you need for every challenge you'll ever face. Come to me. I want to give it to you. I want to help you. I want to empower you. I want to love you. And I want you to share me. That's who he is. And he's calling us deeper Every single one of us. Nobody's overlooked. Nobody's forgotten. Every single person is being called deeper into a heart revelation of who this Jesus is. So how will we respond? And that's the question that I will leave you with. How will you respond to his call and his invitation? I will just close this part in prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, what an awesome God you are. Even though we forget you and we turn away and we get cold for you, you never ever forget us or stop loving us. And I just thank and praise your mighty name for that. And I just pray now, Lord, that whatever you have spoken to your people, I pray for every single person to get at least one thing this morning, Lord, that is of you and that is relevant to their lives today. I pray that you would just water any seeds, Lord, and make it go where you want it to. I pray for fresh revelation of who you are for every single person. I pray that you remove any obstructions or distractions that would prevent people from pushing in to receive all that you are. I pray that you bless these people, Lord, and reveal yourself afresh to them, that they would be reminded of their first love for you and reminded of who you are and how you are. I thank and praise you, Jesus, for who you are. Just pray that you have your way and your will in this place and these people. I pray this in your precious and mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. It's a lot to think about in that. There's a lot of challenges in that. Take them away and use them. While you were speaking, there was two thoughts that came to me. I'll share them very briefly. One was, as Joe said, Jesus knows everything about us. When we shared around the table,